So if you think of both of those cases, we've got single women without great means of support becoming pregnant. And that was a huge blow for women in that situation if they don't have male providers, or if they did have a male provider and he just sort of up and left. And single women and deserted mothers, as you probably know, experienced a huge amount of public disapproval of their status in the 19th century. And if they're trying to approach a charitable organisation for some help, they often got turned back because they were unwed women with children in tow. And it was often very difficult too to get jobs. Employers didn't want to take in women who were also had young children with them. And childcare was a constant dilemma for these women, who tended to rely on the goodwill of friends and family and neighbours to look after their kids if they were trying to get out to do work. And for those who are very concerned about respectability, as so many were, trying to have some community acceptance of their status was very, very difficult, and a child born out of wedlock was a really visible sign that something had gone wrong for that family and for that woman herself. But at the same time, this whole business of caring for children of single mothers and neglected children and deserted children was a really big issue in 19th century New Zealand. And the gold rushes of the 1860s, and that's what the Mangatapu murders are about, one of the issues, the side effects of that, is a lot of kids get abandoned by their fathers as they go off to the Otago goldfields to search for gold, and you get a whole increase in the number of neglected and deserted kids, and children's homes start. And because of that, there's a lot more attention and concern happening about abandoned and neglected kids, and institutions start up. The forerunners of children's homes now, child, youth and family institutions. And ironically, Phoebe's first child, his name was Herbert, was committed to one such government institution a couple of weeks after her sentence on the grounds of him having no visible means of support, i.e. there was no one to look after him, no family to care for him, so he gets committed to an institution. So what happens instead? Women like Phoebe and the Flanagans start exploring this formal, less formal and very unstructured world of non-institutional paid childcare. So the story I said at the beginning, that Phoebe said she was taking her child to a dark lady, was just another way of saying she's going to pass her on to someone who's going to look after her child for money. A baby farmer is what they were known as. And it was a story that people could accept because everyone knew about these types of unstructured, informal arrangements for looking after either unwanted kids or women's children who couldn't afford to look after them themselves. But from the 1880s, this whole business of baby farming comes under a whole lot of scrutiny as accounts of baby farmers, i.e. women who took in a whole lot of children to care for money, a few ended up being neglected willfully or murdered by the women in their care. And you start to get reports of baby farming in New Zealand in the 1880s, and you get a police survey into this in the late 1880s, which says that there were many, many more honest child carers than baby farmers. But the women who took in children for this were very aware of this growing official interest in their work and started to be really careful. And I said before how Sarah Flanagan's mum, in approaching the nurse, was trying to keep it all secret, and part of this was to try to protect themselves so they don't get into trouble with the law. So public interest in this type of childcare really increases in the 1890s, and by the 1893, the police are reporting a large amount of, quote, baby farming going on in New Zealand. And perhaps in the wake of the Depression of the 1880s, and by that time, 1895, Minnie Dean gets convicted of the murder of a child in her care, and public feeling is running really, really high. And she gets sentenced to death, and it gets carried out. But the cases I talked about are operating before that time of major outcry about baby farming, and I think that's one of the reasons why these women's sentences are repealed. It's the word, repealed. So if these childcare services broke down, if women couldn't afford them, or couldn't face the shame, really, of entering into negotiations about the care of their children, then getting rid of unwanted or burdensome children through concealment of birth or infanticide was really at the extreme edge of what women were doing. And people have talked about it as a kind of delayed abortion, a real final and over-the-line strategy for women struggling to survive within a limited range of options. Interesting thing is, the way I've said it sounds bald and horrible, but most often juries would agree with that assessment, that they would recognise the situation facing women and all of the problems that were there, and a lot of the women in court for things like this got off with a very minimal sentence or one that was repealed in some way, unless circumstances told against them, unless they made up such bizarre stories like Phoebe, unless they tried to get away, run off to Sydney and involve their whole family in it and tell story after story and then behave very, very badly in court, like the Flanagan woman, then juries would find them guilty and judges were not inclined to be lenient either. So you get the whole idea of that spectacle playing itself out and going against the women as well. So that's all I wanted to say, but just as a final comment, I think it is quite useful to look at cases like this because of the wider significance. You can look at it just as a simple case of a couple of people in court on murder, but if you look at how these tales are told, you start to get a view of what people at the time saw as entertaining, as interesting, a whole theatre involved in the courtroom. And that might sound really strange to you, but if you think back in the last couple of years about how really big cases are reported in newspapers, on TV, we get things on the telly or whatever night after night, and you know, we talk about these people as if we know them. You may have seen stuff around the Crewe murders, which happened in the 1970s. Suddenly, that's in the news again. So our appetite for the shame and scandal involved in these is still really strong. So that's all I would want to say about that, apart from suggesting that if you are interested in baby farmers and other such things, we of course have something on NZ History Net, as we always do about this, and it's a general discussion here about caring for kids, baby farmers, taking in children for money, a little bit about infanticide, what I've been talking about today, and of course some stuff specifically on Minnie Dean, the only woman to be sentenced to death in New Zealand.
Well, look, I'd just like to thank Bronwyn for giving up her time. Very busy woman, so I really appreciate her giving up time for us.